Hey, how's it going? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Diaries of a Pretender. This is a very special episode because I'm going to be talking about all 10 of the Best Picture nominees this year. So there will be no new movie of the week. I know I've made a big deal about how I only recommend movies that are not big new studio pictures, but this is a special episode. So we're going to do things a little bit differently. We got to talk about the fact that there are 10 of these means that it took me quite a long time to watch all of them. Not to mention only two of the 10 films are under 2 hours long. So it's been a labor of love, but I watched all these movies so I can tell you what I think about them. You can decide for yourself which ones you want to watch and who you think is going to win, okay? All right, let's get into it. I don't know what number. I'll have to look it up later. This is a new episode of Diaries of a Pretender. Let's get into it. I've spoken to you last. We've had listeners from the US, the UK, Netherlands. It's just on my list as Netherlands. So I just said Netherlands, Canada, Russia, Sweden, Australia, Belgium, Colombia, and Germany. So thanks, guys, for tuning in from all over the world. That's pretty damn cool, isn't it? Patrons heard this episode first. That's right. All the episodes are going up on Patreon first. Early access for patrons. So if you want to check that out, each new episode has its own post over there now where you can leave comments. And as you may know, I don't have my email address for this podcast anymore, which is just as well because all I was getting were psychotic emails mostly anyway. But if you want to get in touch with me or tell me something about the show, doing it on Patreon is the best way to do it. Plus, you just keep the lights on around here with your contributions. So check that out. The link is in the show notes. Now, you may hear some ice clinks here. That's because I am actually drinking the drink of the week right now. This week's drink of the week is Three Spirit Livener. And I just got this in yesterday. They sent it to me as part of this promotion they were doing for celebrating the worldwide random acts of kindness day or something. And I just got it yesterday. So I drank one last night and I'm drinking one today. And it's really good. This is like the pick-me-up spirit that they do. They're all plant-based botanical spirits. They're alcohol-free. And this one gives you a little kick. It's got a little burn, you know. It's complex, it's adult, and it's alcohol-free. So naturally, I'm in. So if you want to try these, you can try any Three Spirit Elixir and use discount code PRETENDER for 15% off your Three Spirit order. So you can get the link to that in the show notes as well. Okay. Before we get into the movie discussion today, I'm just going to give you guys a couple of personal updates. I'm at the finish line with a 30-minute documentary short that I directed and I've been working on since 2020. It's actually done at this juncture. It is done. It's one of those things, you know, when you're making a film, you can always change something or add something or take something out, tweak something. So I'm going through this process where I'm just doing version after version, but I'm finally done. And it takes me 12 hours to export the film on my fucking laptop every time I make a change. So changes are done. And now I'm moving on to this phase where I'm working on the promotional materials. I'm getting ready to start submitting it to some festivals and seeing if I can get some traction with this thing. So it's pretty fun, you know, picking my favorite shots from the film. And I'm going to be cutting a trailer in the next couple of days. I'm doing all this fun stuff. So I've just been enjoying this stage where you work on something for such a long time and now I can finally see the shape of what the story is, and it's turned out really well, and I'm really proud of it, and it's just a big moment for me. So I thought I should let you guys in on that. I've talked about it a lot on Patreon, where I post my whole process of all of the films that I work on and all of the work that I do in the industry. So patrons have heard about this a lot, but I just wanted to mention it here because it's an exciting time for me. I've also been working on figuring out what TikTok is all about. I am an older millennial. Okay. So TikTok does not come naturally to me. I just don't get it. But that has not stopped me from trying to figure out what the hell is going on over there. And I posted a clip from the last episode of the podcast, my interview with Ashlyn and Jennifer. And I posted three clips, actually. I posted one of Ashlyn, one of me, and one of Jennifer. And the one of Jennifer had a bit of a viral moment over on TikTok. It's got over 100,000 views, like 26,000 likes. So that kind of surprised me because, again, I have no fucking clue what's going on TikTok or what people are looking at, how the algorithm works. None of that. But I'm learning. It's one of those things, you know, there's always something new to learn. And if you don't keep up, you're going to get left behind. So just like I learned how to make a podcast out of just nothing, out of complete thin air, I'm learning how to use TikTok. So how great. I've also been seeing these really bizarre, I thought it was like everybody just sees bizarre content on TikTok because that's just the way the platform is. But when I get on there and I look on my For You page, which is where they show you like recommendations of videos that you might like, all of mine are unhinged. They are, I see lives where people are on live. And for example, I saw, first, there's this crystal thing where people are selling crystals and they're TikTok only shops, and they have this giant vibrating, shaking bucket full of crystals. And they're like talking like 90 to nothing, like an auctioneer. And they give this huge bucket and you can buy a scoop. Like they have a button on there that's a shopping cart and you can click on it. And for $50, you can buy a scoop, and they get this basket and scoop crystals out. And then they name out all the crystals that you got in your scoop. And then some people buy like two or three scoops in one order. It's really weird, but it's a thing. And they're like, people will be asking, like, do you have an actual store? And they're like, no, this is a TikTok only store. And then I just find myself mesmerized watching this shit. And it's like, I'm just wasting my life in a way, just like sitting here for five straight minutes watching people scoop crystals out of a giant shaking bucket. But I can't explain it. And it is mesmerizing and it's hard to look away. I think it's because they talk like an auctioneer. You know, they talk so fast. You're like, you can't even remember that you need to click off of this and go do something else, which is kind of frightening, to be honest. And then I also like I keep scrolling and then I see there's another shop like this where the girls just try on wigs all day long, like every different type of wig, different lengths of hair, different hair colors, different styles. And this girl, like I closed out of the app and then I opened the app like 4 hours later and it was still up and it was the same girl still trying on wigs 4 hours later. So I don't know what's going on over there. This morning, I opened this app and I saw a live where there was this woman just manhandling clams, like actual clams, and she's digging pearls out of their flesh on TikTok Live. And then I actually kept scrolling and there was another account doing the same thing, ripping apart clams on camera and pulling pearls out. And like one of the shops was selling them, or I think maybe you just buy the clams and like you buy the clams. And then if you get any pearls out, they'll mail them to you. I don't know. It's really a wild and crazy place over there. And I'm not sure how to feel about it. But if you're over there, too, you can follow me at Raiden Greer on TikTok and you can see clips of the podcast and clips of other stuff that I post. So see you there. Okay. All right. Let's get into the Best Picture nominees. So Sorry, I'm just Googling. I wanted to know when they started doing 10 nominees for Best Picture. It was in 2009. Isn't that crazy? I feel super old right now that I remember this, because I remember distinctly that it was like bizarre when they changed it to 10. Before 2009, there were only 5 movies nominated for Best Picture. Now there are 10, which is a pretty big pool if you're asking me, which you are because you're listening to Diaries of a Pretender. Okay, so I'm just going to go in the order of my Google list here. And by the way, I watched all of the Best Picture nominees except for one. Can you guess which one I willfully elected not to watch? I'll let you wait. I'll save the answer for the end and we'll just go through here. Okay. All Quiet on the Western Front.
All warm up. Mission is loosening.
This was the last one that I watched and I just finished watching it yesterday. Honestly, I could not watch this entire movie in one sitting. It's 2 hours and 23 minutes. That's not the issue. The issue is this is a World War I movie and it is extremely gory and extremely bleak. And maybe I had like more of a taste for movies like this at a different point in my life. But at this point in my life, I'm 34 years old. I really don't enjoy like just watching plain, straight up gore like this. You know, it wasn't upsetting. Like, I didn't feel upset. I just felt like, oh, God, like, I don't want to see this. And I understand, you know, the movie was beautifully shot, beautifully made, very well made movie, well acted, and technically all around a great war epic. But for me personally, I really enjoyed 1917 a lot. Like, I watched it multiple times and I have the Blu-ray and I love that movie. And this movie is nothing like 1917. And I kind of came into it expecting it to be really similar to 1917 based on the trailer, based on the fact that it's this beautiful, crisp cinematography and these beautiful shots. And it's like let me just see who the cinematographer was on this movie. I think Roger Deakins was the cinematographer of 1917. Somebody named James Friend was the cinematographer for All Quiet on the Western Front, but they have a similar look. So I was kind of expecting a similar movie and it wasn't really similar to me. There were things that it did well, but overall for me, watching this movie was not an enjoyable experience. It was just too gory. It was just too bleak. And it also had a sad ending. And you know, that's fine. I love a twist ending, a sad ending, an unexpected ending. But this movie was just bleak from start to finish and it never let up. And there was never a shred of hope. So for that reason, this movie does not get my endorsement for Best Picture personally. And maybe there are some people who are war historians who will enjoy it more than I did. But like I said, everything about it was technically beautiful. It just wasn't for me. If you want to watch this movie, it is a Netflix film and it is streaming on Netflix.
The end is inevitable, Maverick. You kind of set it for extinction.
Maybe so, sir, but not today.
Top Gun Maverick is nominated for Best Picture. Can you believe it? A lot of people have talked about this, like that Hollywood likes this movie because it's some kind of allegory for the industry itself. Like if you've seen the movie, which it came out, you know, a while ago. So a lot of people, and it did huge business at the box office. So tons of people have seen this movie. So there's a good chance you've seen this movie. But in the movie, there's like a whole thing where they have the new planes that they're new technology that they fly. And then they end up having to fly this old like plane. I don't know the technical terms for the planes. I'm not a plane lady. OK, but they end up having to fly this old plane that nobody thinks can make it. And it ends up working out and whatever. And the movie really, which, by the way, I haven't seen the original Top Gun. I haven't seen just straight plain Top Gun, but I've seen Top Gun Maverick now. And it gave me that vibe of like an actual movie that came out in the 80s. It was really like a family friendly, like just a classic type of movie with no surprises. Very easy to digest, easy to watch, easy to follow along and just go along for this ride, you know? I did enjoy this movie. To me, it's not really Best Picture material, but it was a fun movie to watch. I probably won't watch it again. So this was just kind of a middle of the road movie, but apparently it was nominated because of what it did for the industry. It brought people back to the movie theaters and it did a huge, huge business. And Tom Cruise is an incredible action star that people will show up to see what he's going to do, which, by the way, have you seen the video of him doing this base jump for the new Mission Impossible movie? It's on YouTube. It has like 9 million views, the behind the scenes of how they did this jump. It was incredible. I'll talk about that another time, though. I'm going to stick to the best picture movies. Okay, Top Gun Maverick is available. I have to look for you because I have all the movies that are nominated for SAG Awards. I have those available to me as screeners. So I don't know where some of these are streaming. Top Gun Maverick made over $1 billion at the box office worldwide, and it is available on Amazon Prime Video to rent or buy if you want to check that out. It's 2 hours and 11 minutes.
Why does love, the absence of love, the end of love, the need for love, result in so much violence?
Women Talking is a movie, I believe it's based on a true story, about these women. Oh, it's not. It is. Okay. It's based on a novel, and the novel was based or inspired by a true story, I guess, allegedly. This movie I did enjoy. It's about women talking, as the name implies. And what the women are talking about is whether or not they're going to leave their religious colony where they live, or if they're going to stay. And the movie unfolds over the course of like 24 hours or 48 hours or some short span of time where they meet in this barn under like secret cover to discuss what they're going to do. And some of them want to leave and some of them want to stay. And it's a very difficult decision because they're in the throes of this religion at the same time. They're not sure if they're possibly going to hell if they leave the colony, but the men have been raping the women and the children. So they've got to do something because they're sick of being abused by the men here. Very dark, like visually dark, and also obviously dark, difficult subject matter for to watch unfold. But it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. This is one of the two films that are nominated for Best Picture that is under 2 hours. It's an hour and 44 minutes. It's rated PG-13. So, oh, they're Mennonites. They're Mennonites. I don't know what Mennonites are, but they're like Amish, I guess, because they drive like horse and buggies in the movie. They don't have cars or anything. And the events of the film take place in 2010. So I liked this movie. And it really teased out some different facets of womanhood, and all the characters, all the women who are having the discussion all have a different point of view. They've all been hurt equally, but they all have a different way of dealing with it. And there's women from different generations that you know, have different worldviews that influence the way that they deal with something like this. Some of them want to fight and like murder the men. Some of them want to just forgive the men and forget about it. And they all have different reasons why they've reacted this way to the abuse. So it was a good film. I can recommend it, though I do not think it will win Best Picture. Women Talking is... Okay, Women Talking is not available to stream yet, but you can watch it in select theaters. So you'll have to wait for this one if you can't go see it at the theater.
Every rejection, every disappointment has led you here.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. One of my absolute favorites of the nominees. I've watched this movie twice. And the first time I watched it, I was just uncontrollably crying, just like from the first moments. And the second time I watched it, I was not uncontrollably crying. So maybe it just hit me like in that certain spot the first day when I watched it. But this is a movie unlike any other movie I've seen. And watching it from like a filmmaker's perspective or an actor's perspective, it's almost unfathomable how they could pull this off and keep everything straight technically, because this film is about a woman who's dissatisfied with the way her life has gone. She runs a laundromat with her husband, and she and her daughter have this strained relationship, and they have the IRS after them and they don't know what to do about their taxes. Jamie Lee Curtis plays this like villainous tax IRS officer lady, and just everything in her life is just... This is played by Michelle Yeoh, who's been winning all the awards already for her role in this movie. But her life is just, you know, caving in on her. And she's just thinking about, well, I guess she's not thinking about, she ends up being recruited by her husband, who is from another universe where their lives have gone differently and where there's different stuff happening in this other universe. He recruits her from this universe where she has this life with the laundromat to channel all of her other selves from all these other universes where she made different choices and things went differently to try to save everything, all the universes who are under attack by this dark force. And it's just such a perfect representation in a fantastical way of all these things that we all feel about our lives. You know, we all have these stresses. I certainly know what it's like to not know how to do your taxes. I was like sobbing last year trying to figure out how to do my taxes. I think I talked about it on the podcast, but it is, you know, the everyday stresses of life weigh on all of us. And I think everybody also has these feelings of, well, have I made the right choices? And how did I end up here? And could I have done things differently? And have I done enough? And have I made enough of myself and made enough of my life? And, you know, we all have these longings for, you know, something better at different stages of our lives. And this movie perfectly just captured that. And I think that's what hit me about it, was just like, oh my God, I feel what this lady is feeling. And there was a moment in the beginning where her husband tells her, you know, every mistake you've made, every rejection, every disappointment has led you to this moment. Don't let this moment pass you by. And that was when I just could not help myself. And I was just bawling. And then what was the other part? There was some other part near the end where I was just coming unglued, because it was just such an emotional ride to go on with these people. You know, in another universe, this woman was like a really famous kung fu star, and she's an actress wearing this beautiful gown at a movie premiere. And then in another universe, she's a rock. There's no humanity that ever evolved on this world. And like, just all these different things, just, it's incredible to watch. And an incredible feat of filmmaking, but it's also incredibly moving on a human level. And once I saw this movie the first time, I immediately understood why it's been winning all the awards. And both of the actors are incredible. The entire movie is incredible. I think, how many people are nominated for acting awards? I think the Michelle Yeoh, the man who I can't remember his name, but they both have incredible stories of adversity in this industry as well that just make it even more touching. You know, I've got to figure out. So, yeah, all the actors from Everything Everywhere All at Once are nominated for awards. Michelle Yeoh is nominated for Best Actress. The Daniels are nominated for Best Director. This movie was directed by two guys, both named Daniel, and they call themselves Daniels for short. Jamie Lee Curtis and Stephanie Hsu are both nominated for Best Supporting Actress for this movie. Ki-Wi Kwan. I'm so sorry that I'm butchering his name. I don't know how to say it. Ki-Wi Kwan. But he's a fantastic actor. Yeah, so this movie is incredible. I would recommend it to anyone. And I watched it twice because I loved it. Everything Everywhere All at Once is surely available on streaming somewhere. Let me just check for you. Yes, it is available on Hulu and Amazon and Paramount Plus and Apple TV. According to Google, you can stream Everything Everywhere All at Once, everywhere all at once. Okay?
Now, if I've done something to you, just tell me what I've done to you. And if I said something to you, maybe I said something when I was drunk and I've forgotten it, but I don't think I said something when I was drunk and I've forgotten it. But if I did, then tell me what it was. And I'll say sorry for that too, Colin. With all my heart, I'll say sorry. Just stop running away from me like some fool of a moody schoolchild.
But you didn't say anything to me. You didn't do anything to me.
Well, that's what I was thinking, like.
I just don't like you no more.
The Banshees of Inisherin. This was the first nominated film that I saw, and I really enjoyed this movie. It's pretty weird. It's not the weirdest of the nominees, but it is the second of the two films that it comes in at under 2 hours. It's 1 hour and 54 minutes. And this movie I would see again, but I've only seen it once so far. Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson are both just so endearing to watch, and they're so great at what they do. They're both just fascinating to watch in this movie. The cinematography and the vistas of Ireland that you see in this movie are gorgeous. And it takes place like in the early 1900s. It takes place in 1923, and they live in this remote village. So it's like really cute to see, you know, the inner workings of a little tiny Irish village in 1923. It's something that you don't see every day. It's something that most people don't know anything about. So that alone it's a huge factor in the interest of this film, the visual interest of this film. It's a very simple story, which is Colin Farrell's character is best friends with Brendan Gleeson's character. And all of a sudden, one day, Brendan Gleeson's character does not want to be friends with Colin Farrell's character anymore. And there's no reason, there's no explanation at first. And he just tells him, you know, I don't want to be your friend anymore. That's the end of it. And that's what kicks off all, you know, the other guy can't accept it. Colin Farrell can't accept it. And it's a simple enough premise. And this movie really reminded me that movies can be great based on a simple premise. Everything doesn't have to just be plot, 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 plot. The simple things are the things that we really deal with in life. So I really enjoyed this movie. It's funny. It's strange. It becomes a little disturbing. It's dark and it's wonderful. Honestly, it's wonderful. I am recommending that you watch this movie. Let me see where it's available for you. It's available on HBO Max, Amazon Prime, and Hulu. And then you can rent it all the other platforms as well.
Can you relax your triangle of sadness? That's like between your eyebrows here.
Okay.
A little bit more. Okay. And open your mouth so you look a little bit more available.
Okay, Triangle of Sadness is the next film on my list here. It's a bit long at 2 hours and 20 minutes. And this film is directed by a guy named Ruben Östlund. And he directed another film that also won the Palme d'Or at Cannes. This movie did too. The former film that he directed that won that award at Cannes is called The Square, which was also a really weird movie that I liked. Ruben Östlund is Swedish, and he has a very distinct style in his films. They're visually stunning, and the scenes are very long. He will stay on one shot or a shot that changes. The camera moves and then moves back and then moves and then moves back, and he will stay on one scene for a prolonged period of time. His films, which I've seen The Square and I've seen this one. He also directed Force Majeure, but I haven't seen that one. His style can be a bit unsettling to watch, but in a good way. The subject matter of this film is strange and unsettling at its core. It's about humanity overall, but it takes the form of following along on a luxury yacht cruise with a bunch of wealthy people and the crew that work on the ship. And they encounter a storm on the sea and chaos ensues. I really liked this movie. Honestly, of all the nominated films that I've seen, I enjoyed this one the most. But if it were up to me, Triangle of Sadness would win Best Picture this year. Truly, I mean that. I enjoyed it that much. And Woody Harrelson is the only American actor in this movie, and he's just perfectly cast. He plays the captain of the ship, and he's like drunk, locked up in his room half the time, and he won't come out. And then when he does come out, the shit has already begun to hit the fan on the cruise and everything's going crazy. And it's really good. And it has a very, very strange, unsettling ending. And this unsettling ending I loved. I thought it was a great ending. It's kind of open to interpretation, although, you know, I think there's only one way really to interpret it, but I won't give any spoilers at this juncture because I think you should watch this movie. And then I found out once I looked up some more info about this movie, the actress she's the lead actress in the movie, she died. Like, actually, right after the movie came out, which is very sad and made me feel like, I don't know, I can't even explain how it made me feel, because she was only 32 when she died. So it doesn't make any sense. You know, it was just like some kind of freak incident, but she was really wonderful in the film. And, you know, I feel sure that she would have been a rising star had she not tragically died after this movie came out. But it just added a little bit of a strange feeling for me about this movie. The movie explores kind of the social hierarchy of different types of wealthy people. the way different people make their money. And then what happens when those people who are used to being so respected and getting whatever they want are taken out of that environment and put in a feral environment where it's every person for themselves, and how much money is in your account doesn't make a fucking bit of difference. So it's very interesting. I recommend you watch it. Let me see where it's streaming for you. This one, I rented this movie on Apple TV. You can rent it on Apple TV. Ooh, my throat's starting to hurt from talking so much. Oh my God, I haven't talked this much in weeks. Oh God. I've been watching all these movies. I haven't been talking. Okay, The Fablemans. Let's talk about The Fablemans.
I will give you crowns in heaven and laurels on earth, but it'll tear your heart out and leave you lonely. You'll be a shanda for your loved ones, an exile in the desert, a gypsy. Art is no game. Art is dangerous as a lion's mouth that'll bite your head off.
I loved The Fablemans. This movie is 2 hours and 31 minutes, and it is, of course, directed by Steven Spielberg, and it is based on Steven Spielberg's life. Nobody makes a movie like Steven Spielberg. That's just all there is to it. You can tell it's a Steven Spielberg movie the minute you start watching it. Steven Spielberg could not make a bad movie if he tried, okay? This movie is good, and it's wholesome. It's just a real story about, you know, real people and the things that we go through in life trying to find our way. You know, it also gave me the feelings kind of in a similar way that I got from Everything Everywhere All at Once, where we really get to see Steven Spielberg's formative events of his life and those moments where he was really unsure of what was going to happen and what kind of career he would be able to have and what was the right thing to do next. And, you know, it just makes you feel better to know that even wildly successful, incredibly talented people like Steven Spielberg have these feelings too. And nobody really knows what they're doing until they just do it. So I really love this movie. And there is a cameo by David Lynch. You know, this podcast is the number one David Lynch fan club podcast unofficially. So that was a very welcome surprise for me. I didn't know that. Judd Hirsch, I want to say he's the second oldest nominee for Best Supporting Actor, second to Christopher Plummer, who was nominated for All the Money in the World. And Judd Hirsch was only in, really, he was nominated for one scene in this movie. There's one scene in the movie where that's just like super, super powerful. He gives this incredible speech to young Spielberg and tells him, you know, like, it's going to be so lonely being an artist. You're going to have your heart ripped out by your art. And, you know, people are going to think you're crazy and you are going to be crazy. And, but this is what you have to do. And it's just a really powerful scene. And he's only in three scenes, I guess, total. His character comes and then they have a dinner, and then he has this big scene where he gives them this talk, and then the next scene he leaves. So truly, he was nominated for this one scene, nominated for Best Supporting Actor. I highly recommend The Fablemans. You've got to see it. And you can rent this on any platform. Not available just for free streaming anywhere, but you can rent it on all the platforms: Apple TV, YouTube, Amazon Prime.
Are you ready to fly?
I'm ready. Ready to fly.
Elvis, clocking in at 2 hours and 39 minutes. This movie's pretty damn long. I'm not gonna lie, this movie came out a while ago. Like, a while ago. I saw it in the theater when it came out. Let me just see what the release date was. It came out on June 24th, 2022, and this is February of 2023. So I saw this movie a while ago, and I haven't rewatched it since then. I did like the movie. I thought Austin Butler was really wonderful as Elvis. He's just magnetic to watch. And honestly, I just wished for more scenes of Austin Butler performing as Elvis, because those were the best parts, unequivocally. You know, I don't think it'll win Best Picture, but it's worth a watch. I would say watch it once. It's available on, I believe, HBO Max. It's on HBO Max and Prime Video and Apple TV and everywhere. And finally, Tar.
Conductor really becomes essential as the ensembles get bigger. And once again, we go back to Beethoven. Ba-ba-ba-bum, ba-ba-ba-bum. Now that doesn't start with the eighth note. The downbeat, ba-ba-ba-bum, it's silent, right? So someone had to start that clock. Someone had to plant their flag in the sand and say, follow me.
Tar is heavily favored to, definitely for Cate Blanchett to win for Best Actress. But honestly, she'll probably win Best Actress, I would say. Tar was a very odd movie. I watched it and I honestly did not know what to think about this movie. And I think I will watch it again because it just was so strange. First of all, I thought it was based on a true story. I thought it was based on a real person. The whole time I was watching it, I was sitting there thinking, like, I'm going to have to Wikipedia this woman once this movie is over. And once the movie was over, I went to Wikipedia her, and she doesn't exist. She's a fictional character, but I was utterly convinced that she was real. I think part of the reason was because when I went to look at the screener, I clicked on the movie and it gives you the synopsis. And the synopsis says, let me just pull it up here. The synopsis reads, set in the international world of Western classical music, the film centers on Lydia Tarr, widely considered one of the greatest living composer conductors and the very first female director of a major German orchestra. Okay, that sounds like it's based on a real person. And I guess it was intentionally so, but it's not. It's a completely fictional character, but Cate Blanchett really is convincing in this role, and she lives it. She lives this character, Lydia Tarr. It has a lot of, it raises a lot of questions about the ethics of supporting an artist's work who has done unsavory things, which is a question that we grapple with still as a society. You know, who do we cancel and who do we continue to support? Who can we separate the art from the person? You know, what are we supposed to do? And Lydia is, you know, adamant that we should not consider personal misdeeds of an artist when we consider their work. And then it comes to light that she has her own skeletons in her closet. It's a very odd film. It's a very, very strange movie. I'm fascinated by it, but there was a lot that I felt like, you know, I needed another viewing to really let it sink in. The first time I watched it, I was just getting my bearings the whole time. I was just confused by the fact that I thought it was a real person and then it wasn't, which ultimately doesn't make a bit of difference as far as the movie. But the film was beautiful. It was well made, and Cate Blanchett was invisible. She was Lydia Tarr. I mean, that's all you can say. And I truly still don't know anything about the work that a conductor does. I was talking to my friend Julian after I watched this movie, and he had seen it. He told me he watched it twice. So I was like, I still don't have a fucking clue like what an orchestra conductor is doing. And he was like, well, they're like the metronome. They're setting the time for the whole orchestra. And I was like, yeah, but then setting the time and being a metronome is one thing. But like the flailing, the flailing and the flinging of the body, of the upper body, you know, like, I don't know. And then we had to have this whole discussion about it. And basically we arrived at the conclusion that the conductor is the director, which that I get. It's like the director of a film. You tell, like, these instruments, you're playing too loud. You're not doing this. You come in a little sooner. You know, I get all that. It's just the actual conducting and the motions, like, during the performance that I don't understand. I understand the conductor in rehearsal. I don't understand the conductor during performance. But maybe if I watch Tar again, I will finally get it. Let me find out where you can watch this movie. It's on Peacock. It's on Peacock. That's all I know. Okay, maybe it's on Prime Video as well. It's on Prime Video and it's on Peacock. So best of luck trying to watch Tar. And that only leaves one film remaining out of the Best Picture nominees that I haven't addressed. Do you know what it is? This is the last film that I won't watch off of the Best Picture nominees list.
The way of water connects all things. Before your birth and after your death.
It's Avatar. I'm sorry, I'm just not going to watch an Avatar movie. I didn't see the first one. I haven't seen the second one, and I'm certainly not going to start now. I don't understand why it was nominated. I think, like, we get it. It's about the blue people and, you know, there's some message about whatever, colonization or society. I don't know. I'm just not interested in Avatar. The only way I would watch Avatar is if I was in it. And, you know, James Cameron, call me anytime. I will come be in the movie and I will dive into this world and see what it's all about, and I will love it and be glad to do it. But I'm not watching this movie unless I'm in it. And that's just my stance. I'm just not into it. It's 3 hours long. It's 3 hours and 12 minutes. Give me a break. But it made $2 billion at the box office. Holy shit. The budget was $250 million and it made $2 billion. You know, that is a hell of a thing. That is a hell of a thing. Regardless of what the movie is about or what the movie is like to watch, that is a hell of an accomplishment right there. And $250 million is a lot of money. That's a big budget movie. And it made $2 billion. I mean, that is just, you know, round of applause to James Cameron and everybody involved in that, but I'm just not going to watch it. And plenty of other people have watched it. You know, there's $2 billion worth of other people who have already seen it, so they don't really need my contribution, do they? All right, guys, I have talked so much. I didn't even talk about everything I wanted to talk about, but I've talked so much. My throat is hurting. Okay, I guess I don't do this enough that, like, I'm, you know, I'm not in shape. My throat's not in shape for this. All right, guys, I've got a lot of other exciting stuff in the works for the podcast. I'm swirling around the idea of pursuing an interview with somebody really cool. Let's see what happens with that. Do you like it when I do interviews, or do you like it when I just talk by myself? Let me know. You can write me on Patreon. You can comment on this episode post over there for free. That's a public free post. Or you can join Patreon if you want to support the show. I'll love you forever and appreciate you so much, more than I already do. Anyway, you can try to send me a message on Facebook or whatever. Or not Facebook. Don't send me a message on Facebook. You can send me a message on Instagram if you want. I try to check my requests and stuff, you know, every once in a while, and just see if there's anything meaningful in there. But let me know, do you like it when I just talk about stuff? Do you like hearing interviews? Do you like it when I do really produced episodes? Do you wish I would keep it the same every time? Do you like that I change it up? Just tell me something. I love hearing from you guys. I love getting feedback. I know it's not as easy now that I don't have my email address set up. I did get some meaningful messages on there. But don't forget to follow the show at Diaries of a Pretender on Instagram. I post a lot of clips over there, and you can always send me messages there, you know, just send me, drop me a line somewhere. You can find me if you try. And thanks for tuning in. Let me know what movies you're loving out of the Best Picture nominees. Thanks for tuning in. I'll speak to you soon. Bye.